welcome. We're excited that you are here with us and you've chosen to hang out with us on this Easter morning. My name is Pastor Anthony, and I am excited for what God has already done here in your hearts and lives and what He's getting ready to do here this morning. Hey, if this is your very first Sunday here, just want to let you know in the front of your seat pockets, you'll find a U-card. We ask that you would pull that out sometime during service. Take a few minutes just to fill that out. We just want to get to know you. We want to thank you for being here. And if that's you, when you get done with service today, as you walk out of these doors, we have a Next Steps booth right outside of these doors that you'll have a Next Steps team members that will be ready to meet you. If you can just drop that card off, they've got a gift for you. Just want to welcome you and say thank you for being here. We hope that you would consider that this morning. Easter morning, it's an exciting time just to celebrate the goodness of God. March 19th was the first day of spring in 2024. We're about 12 days old with spring. It is the most amazing time of the year. I love spring and what spring brings. I love this time of year where we get to experience newness, where we get to experience the beauty of nature and of creation, and the vibrant colors that start to emerge. See, creation starts moving from the state of hibernation to waking up. The reversal process that we start seeing where the old things of nature start to disappear and kind of that brown and the oldness of winter disappears and we start to see the beauty and newness starting to emerge. We start to see the lush colors of spring, the vibrancy that starts to break through from nature and starts to reveal itself. The smell of fresh cut grass, right? Some of you are like, no, dude, that's not funny. I've got to pull my lawnmower out and start mowing. Yes, I love it. It's awesome. The smell of fresh cut grass, the crisp sounds in the air, the birds that are chirping. And man, there is just amazing beauty that starts to emerge. Driving through the countrysides, you get to see these little, calves that are born. They're not little, they're like big compared to me. And they're like just running around their mamas all excited. And there is new life and a new season that emerges with spring. It takes me back to the Garden of Eden, where God created all of creation. He created it and He said, it is good. He looked at it and He said, man, this is so beautiful. I'm reminded of the garden where man and God walked hand in hand in the coolness of the day. Where there was this beauty, there was this majesty, there was this harmony, there was this peace that was emerging in that garden when man and God walked hand in hand. But then, God and man were in this relationship till man decided to betray God. And sin entered the picture. Sin entered the picture, and we see how this beautiful garden starts to reverse its process. And the beauty starts to move towards ashes. We see beauty moving to destruction. We see a peace moving to chaos. And there is this reversal that starts to happen. And Paul says it well in Scripture when he says that all of creation is groaning. All of creation is groaning because of the sin nature that entered the garden. And this morning, I would like to spend a few moments of our time together talking about the great reversal. The great reversal that took place 2,000 plus years ago to reverse the effects of sin that started in that garden. That started in that garden when man decided to betray God. The great reversal that took place when Jesus stepped out of that tomb on that first Easter Sunday. And the reversal process began. So to help us with that this morning, we're going to spend some time looking at a passage of Scripture. So if you've got your Bibles, if you would turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll start at verse 5. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. If you wouldn't mind, would you please stand with me as we read God's Word this morning? Philippians 2, verse 5. And here's what it says. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And I want you to hold on to that thought throughout this message. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that we can spend time reflecting on your word. But most importantly, this morning, we just want to thank you for stepping into this world as a human being and going to that cross and dying for us so that we may have eternity and have hope through you. Father, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Jesus, the Son of God, decided to step down into this earth, humbled himself, went to the cross for you and me. For you and me to help us in restoring our relationship back to the Father. So I'm going to jump to a passage of Scripture in John chapter 12 where Jesus is predicting his death. In John 12, verse 23, it says, Jesus replied, "Now the time has come for the Son of Man to enter into his glory. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." So it looks like we're spending a lot of time today talking about nature and agriculture and botany and all of this kind of fun stuff. I hope you enjoy that. But I'm going to take you guys, if it's okay, do a little a study on botany and agriculture. So we see here that Jesus is talking about the seed, okay, that's being planted or has to die, and then there is new life. So do seeds really die before they grow into a plant? Do they really die? They're meant to be that way, but not in the literal sense. Seeds carry within them an embryo that is very much alive. And the embryo carries in it information that is needed for a plant to be successful in growth. So this embryo is surrounded by nutrients. And then there is this hard shell that covers this whole seed package, and it is then planted in the ground. And when this whole seed has the right moisture, the right temperature, and in the right soil, the germination process begins. So each seed waits till it's the right time, till it kind of breaks that outer shell, that hard shell, and then the process begins. So does each seed need to literally die before it grows? No. Here's what happens. The embryo remains very much alive, waiting, but when it begins to grow, the seed no longer exist in its form. in that single form. And the embryo starts to transform itself, and there is a new plant that starts to emerge. So the seed dies, but the embryo stays alive, and there is this new plant that emerges, and this new plant then brings beauty and brings blessings to the people and to birds and to all things that receive the goodness of this tree. Plus, it also produces tons of other seeds that continues that process. So what we see happening here is that there is death, and in this case, it is considered the transformation process, and then there is the surrendering of the old state, and then there is a reversal that brings in the new state, the new identity that this plant has. And so we see in John 12, verse 24, where it says, I tell you the truth, this is what Jesus is saying, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many kernels, a plentiful harvest of new life. So we see Jesus, in this case, is alluding to his impending death by referring to the seed. And he's saying, my body needs to be broken and opened like this seed. And he's saying, I need to die as Jesus, the man, in order to rise up as Jesus, the Savior of the world. And what he's saying is, as he rises up as the Savior of the world, he is this new tree that brings the freedom for all of God's children. Which is so ironic, because if we look, we go back to the garden, we have the tree that is what caused the sin in the first place. We see sin starting with this tree and Eve taking this fruit off of this tree and biting into this fruit. And we see sin starting to reverse what God intended. But then we see Jesus going to the tree, the cross, where he dies for you and me. And then we see Jesus is referred to as the vine that we're called to attach ourselves to that brings freedom and new life. The tree, that the transformation process that we start seeing through Scripture. He had to go through this process to give us the promise of everlasting life, to reverse what happened in the garden. Jesus was saying, I must die. I must be broken in order to fulfill my purpose that I came on this earth, which was to save you and me, to save us from the sin that began in that garden. My sense here is that Jesus is not just speaking about his own death, his own breaking open, but he's also telling us that we will need to go through a process of being broken. Broken from our sin nature. Broken from our life of past habits and lifestyles and addictions and things of this world that have been put upon us because of the sin nature that lives in us. And we will need to go through the furnace of transformation. A great reversal process. A great reversal process. Many of you sitting in this room truly understand what that looked like, because you remember your life before Jesus and you remember what it looks like now after Jesus. But let me also challenge you this morning. You may be sitting here and going, man, this is an amazing message. Yeah, it's for all those people that don't know Jesus, right? True, not true. Because the great reversal process continues till Jesus comes back and face to face. And so we are all going through a process on a consistent basis, on a daily basis. The moment we say that, man, I have attained, we start to go backwards. We start dying again. Because there is a sin nature inside of us that is continuing to attack and to bring us down. And so I just wanted to challenge you to not turn off and go, oh, yeah, yeah, that's so good, but I'm good. No, we're all in a reversal process, and it's a continual process. The Bible uses a word called sanctification, which is a purification that happens when Jesus comes and lives inside of us, and he starts this transformation from the inside out that is ongoing till we see Jesus face to face. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Christ, not in the world, but is in Christ, because we were in the world, we were in sin, but we pull ourselves out of that, not in our own strength, but we surrender and are in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here. A beauty that starts to emerge through the reversal and the transformation process. A beauty. So keeping that as a backdrop, I want to go back to the passage in Philippians chapter 2, where we see in verse 6, where he's talking about, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privilege. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So we see Jesus taking this face and he's coming into this earth for you and me. And what happens on the day of resurrection? The great reversal process begins. The great reversal process begins. It's a beauty that starts to emerge out of that grave. And what we see in verse 9, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, therefore, because of what Jesus did, the reversal is starting to happen even in Jesus' life. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The great reversal. The great reversal in Jesus' life. Jesus took the humble position of a slave. What did God do? God elevated him that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Jesus died a criminal's death. What did God do? God raised him to the highest honor. Jesus gave up his divine privilege, and God gave him the name that is above all other names. Jesus did not think of equality with God, but God said, every tongue will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. The great reversal happening in Jesus' life. Now, Jesus did not come just to see that great reversal happen just in his life. He came and he brought the good news and the gospel so that you and I may experience the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. The word says resides in us when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. That power is able to resurrect us from the grave and bring us out of darkness, bring us out of sin, and move us into a new direction with Jesus Christ. And so we look at the gospel and the great reversal. The great reversal helps us understand the gospel and the good news. How this great reversal becomes our great reversal. How it becomes your great reversal. When we look at the gospel and the good news of who Jesus is, who is he? He's the eternal Son of God who humbled himself for you and me. Who humbled himself so that we can be restored. And also became a human being, the Messiah. Why? Because he loves us. Because the Father loves us. I want us to understand that. He loves us. The good news and the gospel of what Jesus has done. What did Jesus do? He died on the cross and rose from the dead. He rose from the dead so that we may have hope and eternity. Why did he do that? So that you and I can have hope. So that you and I could have the restoration process to be restored back into an amazing, vibrant relationship with the Father. The gospel and the good news of what Jesus brings. We focus a lot on the cross, but man, the resurrection and Jesus coming out of the tomb ushers in. Jesus is bringing something new. When he rose from the dead, he brought in the new creation. He brought into existence the new creation and the power of the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus went to heaven, he said, I'm going to the Father. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit, who comes with all power and authority, who has my authority, who's going to give you wisdom and insight and knowledge and discernment. But also he ushered in the new creation, the new heaven and the new earth that we'll touch on in a second. So what we see here in the great reversal, the incarnation, the coming as a baby, the death, and then the resurrection. In summary, the gospel is that through the death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, he atones for sin and brings in the new creation. Brings in the new creation. See, the new creation, the new kingdom, it has been inaugurated when Jesus rose from the grave, but it is yet to be fully consummated till, and that happens when Jesus comes back face to face. So what does that mean? That means the new heavens and the new earth that Jesus was talking about is in place now for you and me. We don't have to wait till that day. We can start to live in it, but yes, we don't experience the fullness of it till we see him face to face. So let me explain. The Garden of Eden, perfect, just how God intended, till sin entered and man betrayed God. The Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus shows up and man betrays Jesus. He goes to the cross, he dies, he's resurrected. And he has now paved the way for you to start the process towards the new Eden, the new heaven and the new earth, the new garden that is waiting for you and me. But we get to enjoy some of it now when we give our lives to Jesus Christ. And there is a transformation process that is starting to happen. We were headed in this direction, headed to hell. And then God put a stopgap and he said, I'm going to die for your sin. Now if you receive me, now you start the process towards the new heaven and the new earth. The gospel is known as God's good news because of the wondrous love Jesus showed by exchanging places with you and me. The good news of hope. He came from heaven to earth so that we might go from earth to heaven. He was rich but became poor so that we might become rich. We might become rich in hope, rich in peace, rich in fulfillment, rich in joy, rich in the blessings that God has for us that is stored up in the heavenly places for you and me with our names on it. But we don't get to tap into those riches till we step into the great reversal and submit to his authority and call him Lord of our lives. He became sin so that we might become the righteousness of God, changing places. His curse on the cross is our blessing. This is the beauty of the great reversal, the gospel and the good news. Today, the gospel is inviting you and me into our own reversal. Into our own reversal. And every one of us has a part to play in that. Because no matter where we are in our spiritual journey, maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you've had a relationship for Jesus for 30 years, we're still in that reversal process. And every morning, His mercies are new, and He's inviting us to come into a relationship so that we can start that reversal every day, and to be restored every day, and to be made more like Jesus every day, and to be transformed into the likeness of God. Just as Jesus did not accomplish this by using His power, but through voluntary loss, so we receive this salvation not by summoning up our strength or coming up with our own processes or figuring out how I can earn my way into salvation or what good deeds I can do or how much of a good person I can be. It's not that, but it is submitting to the Father and receiving the gift that He has. The reversal of admitting our utter weakness, our helplessness, our need for a Savior. The repentance and acknowledgement of sin and guilt in our lives. Because we all have that. We're all sinful, broken people. No matter where we are in our spiritual journey. And we need Jesus every day. We need the blood of Jesus to cover us every day. Because there's beauty that emerges every day. Scripture says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it. You may be trying to save your life on your own good deeds and your own plans and your own processes, but Scripture says you will lose it one day. But whoever loses their life for me, dying to themselves, to their old self, we'll find it. I was lost, but now I'm found in Jesus Christ. Friends, the gospel and the good news of Jesus is the ultimate gift. But it takes humility to receive it. As human beings, I think we're sometimes too prideful to admit that we need a Savior, to know how broken we are. And it takes humility to say, Jesus, I need You. I need what You have. I need that gift that You bought for me on that cross. Everything that You went through for me, I need that. The great reversal of the sin nature in our lives. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you'd say, I don't have any sin in my life right now. I don't need Jesus to work in my life. I don't know about you, I'm sure on the way here, I had something that I did that God's like, really? Did you have to? We all have that. The seed that needs to be transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. See, the gift of Resurrection Sunday is the great reversal, the turning point for us to move in a new direction versus the direction that we are headed in today, the direction that we are headed in right now. Our current direction could look like the dungeon of loss, hopelessness, despair, anxiety, worry, fear, destruction, and eventually eternal death. Because Scripture tells us that. Eternal death. But understand that Jesus is coming back for His bride. He is coming back. He is coming back for you and me. The good news and the hope that we have is that one day we get to spend eternity with Jesus in the new garden, the new heaven and the new earth. But for that to happen, we've got to step into the great reversal. Accept the gift. And to walk into the freedom that Jesus has for each and every one of you. How do I start that reversal in my life? Romans 10 verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. Doesn't require you going through any steps and processes or earning your grace. It requires you just admitting. So Flag Church, this morning I'm going to have you stand with me. No big secret. I'm going to give you the opportunity this morning. An opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. To start that great reversal process. Today may be that day that you decide that you're going to step into the goodness that God has for you and to let His grace come over you and to transform you from the inside out. But I also want to challenge the rest of you that may have already done that and you have a relationship with Jesus, but you know today that your relationship with Jesus is not what it needs to be. You know that there is more. You know that you've kind of taken a back seat to your walk with Jesus. You know that He's not number one priority in your life. You know that the things of this world have kind of started to encroach in your relationship with Jesus. And He's kind of there on the side. And today's an opportunity for you to invite Him back into the center of your life. To give Him freedom to be the king of your life. So that you may experience the freedom that comes with Jesus Christ. So with every eye closed and every head bowed, I just want to give you the next 30 seconds, just you and God, just to process through this, to think about it, to let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. And then I will give you an opportunity to respond this morning. Every eye closed and every head bowed. If you're in this room today and you have never given your life to Jesus Christ and you've never asked Him into your heart and you want to do that this morning, you want to go through that process, that's you. Would you mind just lifting your hand up and saying, that's me. I want to start that process this morning. If that's you in this room, anyone across this room. Okay. Here's my next question. You do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but it's not as vibrant as it needs to be. You've kind of, that's that category I was talking about. He's kind of secondary. He's not priority in your life. And today you're going, you know what? Jesus, I want you to be king of my life. I want to start that great reversal in my life. If that's you this morning, would you slide your hand up and put it back down so that I can, yep, thank you. Thank you. Anyone else across this room, you're just saying, Jesus, that's me. I want to start that process. I want to recommit my life to you, rededicate my life to you, and I want to submit to you this morning. Anyone else? Thank you. Yes. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? We'll give a few more minutes here. That's you this morning. I want to invite you back into an amazing, vibrant relationship with Jesus. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this prayer, and like every one of us to pray this prayer together, just to help those that are maybe praying this for the very first time. And so just repeat this after me. Lord, come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I turn away from my sin. And I turn towards you. I give you all of my life. All that I am, all that I have, and all that I hope to be, I am yours. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for changing me. And thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, heaven is celebrating this morning those that recommitted their lives to Jesus Christ. Can we celebrate in God's house this morning? Praise God. He's a good God, isn't he? Let us celebrate this morning the goodness of God by worshiping God. Lead us out, team.